wandering in the dark, looking for that glimmer of light that resonates with your soul and spirit. As you step into this new era that some indigenous people refer to as the Rainbow Bridge, without a compass, without a guide, yet needing some help to navigate your way through this spiritual maze, look no further. We've got the map. The Searcher's Roadmap. Now here's your host for the Searcher's Roadmap, Rhonda Harris. Rhonda.
Hello, listeners. Today, I'm coming from the Greeley, Colorado area with the Searcher's Roadmap with Dr. Ella McDonald, who's been with us for numerous sessions on this beautiful process of perspectives and transformation of body and self. And today, we're going to be looking at the new possibilities for living. Is this week's is the highlight for today, and will be discussed this week. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. She's got tons of information from neurological standpoint and from, you know, a personal experience standpoint, which makes it even more dynamic, I think, when the person's gone and done the work. Ella, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Rhonda. Nice to be here.
How are you today?
I'm pretty well, thank you very much. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
So, with today's, you know, topic of the possibilities for living it, you know, making it work as, on a daily basis and living it, you know, throughout our day, how would you want to start to tell us how to do that?
I'd start with a little bit of review.
Okay.
Our first topic was. First of all, the name of the series is Perspectives and Transformation. And our first topic was multiplicity and diversity within oneness, which went about telling us that we're like lots of different instruments in the symphony, and we haven't learned how to create harmony and play together. And so being able to have the oneness and create a symphonic, harmonic song is one of the steps in creating this transformation or this new level of development in your life. The second topic that we talked about was dynamic body self, which told us about how we are not a statue, how we're not static, how we're constantly flowing, how our biochemistry and our cells are completely changing all the time, and in our thought process, our brain, we can grow our brain now, where before they told us we only had so many brains. So all of that emotion, the most pushing and diversity by dynamic body self, it's all in motion. We're all moving and flowing. The third topic that we talked about was creating and manifesting within the flow, being able to sit in life like a river and let go of the sides and let the boat of life or the river of life take us where creating and manifesting comes naturally and spontaneously rather than we have to sit around chanting some kind of thought or, you know, we have to do something so many times that it actually manifests in our lives as we go down the river of life. The fourth lecture, or the fourth talk, was called Unbounded Awareness, which was about knowing that life is about experiences, and these experiences are not static either. They come and they go. Our state of health, our family, our friends, every experience that we have in life, we go to sleep, we wake up, it's all flowing and in flux. The only thing that's consistent is awareness. And it's like the backdrop of a page, the white that holds the writing where the words go on. It's the only thing that is a consistent state. And today we're going to talk about new ways of new possibilities of living, which takes all of that and puts it kind of in a nutshell. And in order to do that, I need to review a little bit about the old perspective. The old perspective, or we call it, I guess, Cartesian way of thinking about life. Back in the 1600s, Rene Descartes, the angel of truth came to him and told him that the universe is a machine and that humanity must study it piece by piece to understand how it works. Now, back then, the church was in charge of everything, and there weren't very many people that could read or write, so whatever they said went. Science was just beginning to bud, so the scientific community was very small and in conflict, actually, with the Church of Rome. And it detested science and declared it evil, and anybody that stepped outside the Church's doctrines was considered a heretic. So the collective conscience back then was pretty severe. Then, in the 17th century, Sir Francis Bacon helped prepare more way for the mechanistic revolution in science and the mind of humanity. And he put forward an agenda that put human domination over nature and restated the need for science and empirical research. So his whole perception and linear perception was that the mother, the earth, life needs to be bound into servitude and dominion, and that nature's secret and the whole pagan earthbound society were to be done away with. So, as we all know, this perception dominated for about 300 years, and it's still prevalent. People still make distinctions between our emotions, the body, the spirit. They separate energy and matter. So here's some very specific things that the old way of thinking and how it still dominates us, because we haven't stepped up plate with the new paradigm yet. We're still on a very deep collective conscious level, still operating in the old Cartesian split. So here's one. Mind, and we may want to talk about this, Ron, as we go along. Mind, body, and spirit are separate, and they operate independently. The body is composed of separated clumps of matter. Body, ego, and personality define our true nature. Suffering and aging are necessary. They are reality. Our perception of the world is accurate. It's the only one. There is a worldview which is objective, and it's real. We are physical machines and have learned to think. As individuals, we are disconnected and separate. Human behavior and emotions can be explained as a product of biochemistry. Now, looking back on that from my perspective, that's all pretty scary. But if we look at the quantum view, or the more open view, the one that I'm trying to educate people on, here's some of the things that this view is about. And this has been around now for at least 100 years. And people, but they haven't brought it into their daily lives. And it's a perspective. Body, mind, and spirit are inseparable. Our bodies are composed of energy and information. Each of us has a real life and the expression of energetic creative intelligence. Perception can be shifted instantly. It is a learned thing. Physical world as well as our bodies is a response of the observer. Impulses of intelligence create our bodies in new forms every second. All of us are connected by patterns of energy. We have holes within holes within holes. Biochemistry of the body can be affected through movement and through ways of perceiving the world. So the research now that's going on is opening up that view more and more. It's just humanity as a whole very old view. And one of the reasons they're trapped back there, is fear. The two basic fears that seem to come up for people when we start to disrupt these old ways. One is fear and paranoia of not being able to maintain our social contracts we've been taught. And this is a fear of being thrown out of the tribe or the system, the only system we know. And the other fear is fear of our own aloneness, the fear of not having the energy to face the pressure that the world at large will exert on us if we give up our learned behavior, which we have put all of our energy into. And that if we do step out of that paradigm, we will disappoint a lot of people. So, having said all that, you can see that this is not a small project. This is not a small job to bring forth and to initiate and induct people into this new way of thinking. So, I mentioned this in a couple of other lectures that I did for Searchers Roadmap, and one is that our perception, if our reality is, let's say our reality is a mile,
mm-hmm.
and our perception, the way we're living it now, is 1 millimeter. Until we open up that millimeter of perception, and the reason we have that is program, the survival, day-to-day living, technology, everything keeps us kind of trapped in this 1 millimeter. Until we join our mile of reality, until we expand and join existence, the separation thing is still going to dominate our lives. And it takes individuals create a culture, and I think we look at Sheldrake called it a morphic field, so that at some point there's enough people that have joined the mile of a greater existence that it will create critical mass and shift the consciousness of Earth or the world, our world. So if we look at the world in the greater perspective, life is going on all the time. Wormholes are being created, planets go in and out, star systems change. That whole energy of creation is going on all the time. And that energy of creation is what's in us. That's what generated us in the first place. From the very beginning of life, it was sperm at the ovum, and that started to grow. So whether you're an evolutionist, creationist, or you're both, that kind of thing has to go through stages of development. And we have stages of development in consciousness. And our stages of development that we're looking at, the one that I'm speaking about today, is a new level of development. So in review of developmental stages of human beings, we have an infant, we have a toddler, we have a child, we have teenagers, and we have young adults and adults, and it goes on. And in each one of those stages, there's certain behavior and ways to think and view the world. So when you're a teenager, you don't view the world as a toddler. When you're a child, you view the world as an adult. You might play and have tea parties and have dolls and assume you're an adult or play dress up, but you haven't gotten to the adult stage yet. You're still playing it. So that's kind of what we've been doing for the last few generations. We've been playing at, quote unquote, enlightenment. We've been playing at joining the greater reality. But until you actually realize that this new stage that we're going into is a developmental stage, you can't really do it unless you're either shown by someone, initiated by someone, or inducted by someone into this new developmental stage. And here's a perfect example. When you're an infant, or let's just say when you're a child and you're learning to walk, how do you learn to walk? You're shown. There are adults around that walk, so you look at them and you walk and you emulate, or they model for you how to walk. You're trying to ride a bicycle. How do you learn to ride a bicycle? Someone shows you. And so it goes for each thing that we learn. If we learn to see life in a particular way, it's because someone taught us. So we were initiated into a certain way of looking at life. Or we were programmed in some way. Well, this new stage of development, the one that I'm going to talk about the next time that we come and have a talk, called the transcendent self. Transcendent self can only come into the reality of existence if you are shown how to do it. How are you shown how to do it? Well, there are not very many people out there that are in this new state, but there are a few. And so once a person is opened up and moves to this next stage of development, then this reality, this view of life, can start actually being applied on a daily basis. If you look at the stages of man, of humanity, how they go from, caveman to, well, let's just say you're an evolutionist. Say maybe you started out as an amoeba and then went through all that, became, a little animal, and then crawled out of the sea, and then you became a human being. And then you stood up, and then you started walking. So there were stages of development. If you're a creationist, and you feel that God created man, and that those people in those early days still had to go through stages of development. They had to learn about the knowledge and through life, and we could get into that whole biblical thing. They had to learn how to function in the world. If you are one of these people that feel that aliens came down and manipulated our DNA and we are combined with something that created humanity and we're actually devolving, then that's a whole other conversation. But in each of those cases, there were still developmental areas or developmental levels that had to take place for this to work out. So I think I'll stop there for a moment and see if you have anything to say.
All the information is just so beautifully put together and so nicely packaged in. The divine knew that there would be this time that we would be ready for it, and it seems like it's opening up like a beautiful amaryllis, and it starts out as a really small bulb, and then it gets its green leaves, and then it gets the flower, and what I see is that, and without all the other things around it, like you say, we're all like in the ocean together, and we each help the other to come to fruition or to find ourselves or something like that. And it's just beautiful the way the divine has set it up for us to find it.
Yeah. A lot of people have spent their lives trying to spend or go into some meditative state where they don't have to engage in life. But what I'm supporting at this point is that at this next stage of development, we have never really fully engaged with life. And so to integrate into life and engage with life, that instead of some disassociated state, we're actually moving in this bigger circle now.
Right.
For instance, when a child is born, everything in their life is sensory. They have that oceanic feeling, pure bliss. The mother gets that, when they're in the womb, actually, the mother gets that blue, and there's no individuality. And they don't have the have consciousness, but they don't have the individuation to function in life. Then after birth, the stage that they come into is more like a sensory motor, where they start to move and they put things in their mouth and they see things and they touch things and they hear things and their proprioception starts kicking in and movement grows the brain, so their brain starts to develop. And then they start getting more brain function. And so each level is working toward moving us to the next level. And we don't need these developmental stages until we're, in terms of brain growth, at least 25 years old. And now they're saying that we can continue our brain growth after that. We can continue growing neurons and dendrites after we're
wow.
Where they used to think that was it. Like, we got all the brain we're going to get. And then it started.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we know, we can develop now the next level where our higher brain functions have kicked in. And we're starting to do, instead of concrete operations, where we have linear thinking concepts, and we have to figure things out, and we have to think. We're going into what we call now formless operations, which means, I'm going to try to be clear and more concrete about this, but which means that, here's an example, like Einstein, he didn't do very well in math. They thought there was something wrong with him when he was growing up. But Einstein's higher brain functions were working. And so he was able to tap into this level that I'm speaking about way back then. And there have been a few people on Earth that have been able to do that. Tesla.
Yeah, I was just going to say Tesla was another one that did that and was so able to touch, you know, that divine other side, you know, where the rest of us still hadn't been open enough to that.
I notice you're using the word divine, but...
I don't know what to call it. I mean, it's the universe.
Either,
it's the, you know, that's my way of putting it, because it's that divine to me that it's like awing for me, especially in the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, I think we're all looking for a word to describe it.
Yeah, we are. And I didn't mean to, I wasn't trying to make it inaccurate. I'm just saying that.
Oh, no.
I'm sure it's like coming from, it's coming from the same energy that creates the wormholes in the universes, and if you want to call
mm-hmm.
that fine, or oneness, or whatever you want to call it, it's fine. I
mm-hmm.
just want to be kind of clear with my
right
words, because it seems to me like this is our next level of development.
Mm-hmm.
Not only a higher formless operation, it's also physically based in our brains, in our nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's where, again, stress isolates us. Because our little millimeter of life that most people live in, this in us keeps us in a fist. Like our body is being held by a fist. And it's not coming from the outside. It's coming from the inside. And it's a contraction of this energy that we have received. So it keeps us encapsulated in this small perspective. So when stress ice yoga comes in, it starts unwinding this fist. And what do you get when you release your fist? Where'd the fist go? There is no fist. You let go, and then energy can come in, and the new higher formless functioning can come in. And what happens when that stress, that programming, that deep contraction of self starts releasing and letting go? You get a higher form of intelligence, an intelligence that's holistic, an intelligence that comes with flashes, and we've all had these. They're just not consistent. For instance, how do you know when the phone rings who it is? Or how do you know what's around the corner sometimes before you get there, or what someone's going to say? These are flashes of insights that this higher intelligence gives us. So we have partial development already of this higher formless operation, but it will start to come as a more consistent. Instead of having to figure things out, develop concepts, it comes from being open to the flow, being open to the manifestation, being open to listen. And so we don't go around thinking all the time. We live our lives in the flow that gives us these insights, and that's when this formless operation would come into being full time. So each developmental level has its own characteristics, and these are the characteristics of this holistic higher intelligence that we're moving into. So when you were a toddler, you thought like a toddler. But now that we have a chance to move into these consciously, this formless operation, you're going to think with higher intelligence. And the intelligence is more like, if I can describe it, you know, when birds migrate, how they know where they're going. There's no map. They don't sit down and get a pencil out and chart a map and say, well, I go here and I turn right and do all that. They know where they're going. Those huge migrations in Africa that happen with the animals every year, how do they know where they're going? How do they know when to go? That's because they have a form, and they are in touch with this higher intelligence that we as human beings also have. But we get flashes of it, but we don't live there consistently. Carlos Castaneda, who was a writer back in the 70s, he He wrote about non-ordinary reality and about going into a different reality. This is not about a different reality. It is about taking a millimeter and joining the mile, joining the rest of reality with what we get with our higher intuition. I mean, I've had intuition all my life. Sometimes it's wrong, but our higher actually is not. So that's what I'm talking about. It's about this wholeness, this new ways of probabilities and possibilities of our lives. The old saying, if you can perceive it, you can create it. But the creation comes from not planning it or conceptualizing it. It comes from tapping into that flow of movement. I mean, it can be money, it can be health, it can be travel. If you tap into that and let that come through you, that's going to manifest in your life, and it will manifest effortlessly. It will happen, and things, I call it getting green light. Whenever I want to do something, I say, okay, I have to look for the green light. If I don't get green lights and I keep getting red lights, okay, you can't go there, you can't go there. I don't do it. I can't do it. So this fullness operation takes away the duality that we've suffered from. It takes away the frustration. It takes away having to be trapped by time. It takes away suffering and allows us to open up to this new ways of living and possibility.
Can you tell our listeners how to reach you and how to get in contact with you if they would like to do more work on this level and find out more about Stress-Ace Yoga?
Sure. My phone number is 901-457-8895. The website is stressace.com. And my email is Ella, E-L-L-A, at stressaceyoga.com.
Okay. And to reach us here on the Searchers Roadmap, you can go to searchersroadmap@gmail.com. The other thing is anytime you would love to re-listen to this whole beautiful series that we've done of six different perspectives, we still have the sixth one to do next week. You can go back into the archives and look them up and be able to listen to them and download them and, you know, use them, you know, on a daily basis or however you want to, you know, interact with them. And then, you know, definitely get a hold of Ella if you have more questions about the possibilities of this type of perspective. And Ella, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit how you got to this point in your life with
so
I kind of did a
The Sand People of Africa, which I lived in. I lived in Africa for a number of years, and I became an initiated shaman with them. They feel life is there is no life and death, that life is a dream. And so there's no real life and there's no real death. And their perspective of the totality of our experience is that we're just dreaming. So with that kind of perspective, everything flows for them. They look out at the animals and they learn from the animals. They look at their feathers. They look at their hard times, their good times. They're with that they experience life as dreams within dreams, and there's no separation. And there's only perception of different and varied experiences and how we think and feel about those perceptions and experiences. So that's kind of got me started on it. And then my own life experiences have taken me on. I've been in pain most of my life. I'm in war. I've recently had a retinal detachment, which kind of threw me. I wasn't expecting it, and they still don't know why it happened, because people of all ages get it, athletes get it, people that box, you know, get hit in the eye, people that are older get it, they've even had it in children. So it kind of shocked me that I would get a retinal detachment. And so I encourage all of you, as an aside here, please get your eyes checked every year, because they can look in there, they'll validate your eyes, look in there, and tell if you have any tears. So it came from a tear in the vitreous fluid or something. And I'm not real clear on the whole anatomy of the eye, but it could have been prevented. But anyway, my point being, I'm doing a lot of research on that because I'd like to know why this happened to me anyway. But on another level, this time of not being able to see out of my right eye has put me in a place of really changing my perspective of how I function in the world. My ego went through major shifts. I've let go of a lot of that fist I was talking about, because even though I've been doing stress-based yoga and I've come to a place where I was feeling really whole, the eye going bad or being torn and having to go through surgery and have it, not being able to see out of it, whole another level. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to do this to release their fist, but I'm saying there is still some of that fist holding on to me that has released completely. And I'm now even more in that flow because I couldn't see. I didn't have the control that I had before. And so to rediscover who I am within this dream and who I'm becoming is really fascinating for me. And to even have the perspective of seeing it like this, and I use that word seeing loosely, but my internal seeing is really shifting. And I'm seeing others more able to do this as well. And you don't have to have your retinal detached through it. But you can't go out and just say, okay, I'm going to start thinking this way, seeing this, doing this. You actually have to be inducted into this and to get your fist, that like a tight vice around you, to release so that you can see this. You can join existence and realize that you're not separate from it. I hope that makes sense. What I just said.
It makes perfect sense. And as you were talking about that, I could see myself, because this last year I've gone through a huge healing process, and it's also been a very big spiritual process. And I could see myself breaking loose of having my arms tied around me like in a straitjacket, and all of a sudden just being able to bust out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's what I've been doing in the last 8 weeks of my healing, is that now I'm busting out of it and reclaiming where I want to go and where I want to be. It's like it's made my vision more direct, and it's opened me up to another level of spirituality that I hadn't had before now.
Yes, and instead of being a victim, which we can't,
mm-hmm.
Something like this happens, we become at cause. We become the cause, not blaming ourselves for this, but we start saying things like, you know, okay, what do I want to do with my life? What, who am I? And what is my purpose? And when we start releasing that fear, that just, it's not a cognitive thing that happens. That purpose unfolds, like you were talking earlier about the unfoldment of that flower. It just starts happening automatically. You don't have to sit around, okay, what am I going to do, what am I going to do? It just, your true purpose starts really coming forward because, you know how you, when you prime a pump and that trickle of water starts, and once the trickle starts flowing, it's a little bit like that. I don't personally feel people, and I have to get sick or hurt themselves or have retina detachments or get cancer or disease to wake up. I mean, that's you don't have to do that anymore. There are other ways now that people can really start releasing that grip that this old way of living has had on us. And I'm right in there with you. I mean, it's not like I'm some guru or something trying to lead you down this awakened path. I mean, I've been right here every step of the way, going through my own
And I think with each of us going through our own stuff, it's making it even more dynamic because we're all getting the same message at the same time that, you know, we're going to into another level of living and healing that has always been there, but we weren't open to using, and now we are. And, you know, it's huge. I mean, it's around the world. I mean, I've talked to so many different shamanic people and high, you know, Pacos from Peru, and we all are on the same page, just like Black Elk had talked about the Rainbow Bridge and that we had to come together for us to get stronger, you know, instead of being so divided in all of our humanistic life, I guess, you know, and being more open to...
Now that there's more people like us that are going to this next level of higher development, formless operation, it's going to be easier. It's going to be easier for everyone. Because our collective consciousness that held this old paradigm of the everybody's separate, ego and personality define our true nature, all that, that's been a long, long time.
Yeah.
And we need to realize that people that lived 2,000 years ago were in a collective consciousness that's so different than now. They did not have our technology. They didn't have the healthcare system. They didn't have... They were struggling to stay alive even more.
Mm-hmm.
But we inherited that collective. So the only way to break up the collective consciousness, which is really strong, especially now with the things that are going on, I mean, that thing that happened in Paris the other day, climate change, all that, we all have our little things that happen to each generation as we go through life, but we need to update and download this new level of operation in order to keep going. Because if we try to apply that collective consciousness on this, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. I mean, and I guess what I'm even seeing, because I work a lot with the dying and crossing them over, and there's been a huge amount of people leaving that, you know, and I see it. I had thought that it was more about that they just didn't want to go through any more of the change, but I don't think that's it. I think they left so that the change could happen.
Yes.
In the perspectives and the blocked energy is now gone.
Because they couldn't change.
Right.
Go to that next level. Yeah.
And it just really came to me just in the last few days that's what this is about. You know, and some of them that are living longer and longer, like my grandfather, who's 105, and he's still very alert and very aware of what's going on, you know, but he's always been very open-minded and very in this new idea, even when the new idea wasn't even okay to be around, you know. And it's just amazing to watch these people.
It is. The more we move into this unbounded awareness, the more we're going to have a chattering mind, the less struggle we're going to have. In fact, the triggers and the knee-jerk reactions that we have about struggle, about survival, will just go away.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be in the flow, just like the birds and how they know how to get where they need to go, or how the animals know how to migrate in Africa.
Yeah, and we're learning to follow that direct path that we have cell-wise, energy-wise, that connects us with other things too, and we're now being open to feeling them and saying, oh, that's what that is. Or asking the question, what is this? You know, why am I taking on this feeling right now that feels so different than what I've done for the last, you know, 30 years?
Exactly. But I just want to reiterate one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a physical brain nervous system that's coming in. And so it translates into energy, and it translates into feeling on the physical level. So our body, that's where, back again, the stress-based yoga, our body has to release the cyst, this vice, that's holding us in this lower level of development.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some say over that. And it's not just like I said before, it's not about just saying, oh, I think I'm going to think this way, or I need to do 50 jumping jacks, or I need to sit in meditation 20 hours, or I need to do yoga 50 times a day, or whatever. It is, you have to do something, but you have to be aware that it is a physical development of our brain and nervous system that we're moving into for us to realize that this is, because we're magnetic and and our brain and spinal nervous system and spinal cord are our nervous systems and we're magnetic, that's what we're going to be emanating to help the morphic heal grow to that critical mass. So there's more and more people becoming like this. So it's going to be...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you explain that one more time? I mean, I'm getting it, but I feel like I am not the only one that listening to this that's going, this is such interesting information that I really want to take it in. Can you, you know, just reiterate the importance of knowing that it's not, I don't even know that blending is the right way to put it, but that there's more of an openness that you just talked about that we're taking in now.
Let me see if I can.
On a brain, physical, emotional level.
We are a critical part of existence. Existence is going on all the time. And when we came in, existence came into us, and we developed our cells, our brain and nervous systems, our organs and everything. So existence is in us. So there's existence is in us and existence is outside of us. And everything that's going on inside of us, that old adage, as above, so below, the alchemy of that, is there. But the way we tune in to the magnetic resonance of the earth, of our galaxy, of our universe, of our day-to-day lives and our existence is through our magnetic resonance with that. That's what creates our perception. If the magnetic fields of the earth dropped, we could not exist because we are tuned to the earth. That's why the astronauts have so much trouble coming back in, because once they get outside of Earth's gravity, they start developing all sorts of diseases and problems. And when they come back, they have to go through this re-entry thing for them not to really get sick. So our brain and our nervous system is what keeps us in tune with existence. So that's the brain and nervous system where the first things that develop with our little mitosis and meiosis cells started developing. That's how we got in tune with our mother and umbilical cord, my father. We were constantly giving and receiving this electromagnetic energy from our nervous system. So in order to release this grip from us, this fist that's been around us, it has to unwind from the nervous system, because that's where we're contracted. We are contracted physically, our self, and the self can't be separate either. The transcendent self that we're going to talk about next week and our ordinary is the same thing, except we're contracted. So that we're not contracted, we have to get it out of our nervous system. We have to unwind our nervous system and our brain. And this new developmental level will happen spontaneously. It will happen on its own. Your purpose for being here will flower on its own. You won't have to go on a search. You will come into your own being through this new developmental level.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Okay.
Everything you say makes sense. It's just such interesting information, and it's like, that's why for the listeners, go back and download this, re-listen to it. I'm one of those that likes to take things apart and really hear what's being said, and, you know, and trying to see how my perspective struggles with it or whatever. And to be open to that new change.
Yeah, that very thing where you self-reflect all the time. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about anybody. Self-reflecting or evaluating yourself, all of that is the fist. All of that is love. Here's an example today that I don't have a lecture that I'm, you know, reading. I knew I had a topic I was going to talk about, but I didn't really have it all laid out. So this flow that's coming through me now, when I speak, that's why I always go, does that make sense? Because I hear you say the words, but then my logical mind goes, it's making sense. It's making sense to you, or is it making sense to them? So that's why I check.
Right.
If we're throwing out the garbage, we don't go through our garbage unless we've lost something and say, oh, do I want this banana peel? Do I want this candy wrapper? Do I want this piece of newspaper? Garbage, and the garbage man comes and takes it away. Well, it's a little bit like that. To self-evaluate and to self-assess all the time. Is that it that's holding us in this lower developmental level?
Right. I call it repacking the suitcase.
Okay.
You know, taking out what doesn't work anymore, you know, or it doesn't fit anymore, so to speak, you know, on numerous different levels. And some, you know, it's like, you know, if you want to change the way where you're going, you've got to change what's in your suitcase or your tool belt or whatever, you know, and be open to more tools and more information, I think, it, especially now because it's just coming from everywhere. And with that, we're close to the end of the show. I'd really like, you know, the listeners, if you have any feedback, anything like that, or you want to follow this show so that you watch it every or listen to it every week, please hit follow when you come online for the Searchers Roadmap. And you can reach me at searchersroadmap@gmail.com. And those come to me personally and privately. And I'm going to be starting a new project that will be coming up on Facebook called Shawls of Love and Hugs, because through this year of being very ill, I have used shawls when I've been very sick and very in a very bad place, and I have felt the infusion of the love and the hugs of whoever had owned it before, because I don't always buy them new. I buy them used, or they get gifted to me. And I never knew how important that was until now. And I want to start a project where you have an old shawl, or you see one at a thrift store for a dollar. Pick it up, put prayers into it, take it to your local hospital, your cancer ward, your children's hospital, hospice, so that people can feel like when they're in that healing process that they have the hugs of the universe coming into them. And, you know, it's been hard for me to make this decision because it was like it was pretty personal to me. But the more I'm open to spirit, I know that it needs to be sent out everywhere. And I know everyone. Yeah, and it's such a beautiful thing because it's tactile, it's spiritual, you know, and it gives you that sense of safety or that sense of, you know, I'm being surrounded by all my spirit helpers, or all my, you know, prayer warriors that are with me, you know. And I made a special walking stick where I had 7 of my strongest people that I work with in prayer send me a crystal or a rock, and I put it on this walking stick. And the way they're arranged, I can touch each one of them as I walk, and am empowered to. I believe that's why I'm already walking again after not being able to walk for a few weeks.
It's like
and
cuddles.
So,
cuddles.
Huh?
Lots of cuddles. You're like getting lots of cuddles.
Yeah, lots of cuddles and a lot of, you know, that. There's a feeling you have when angels are around you that I can't quite ever put my finger on, but it's very enlightening, very wispy, very loving. And that's what I feel when I'm doing this with the shawls, or when I'm wearing them. I can feel them surrounding me. And surrounding the people who put the prayers out there for me, you know, and the intention. But that's part of my flow right now. And, you know, if you guys have any other information or you guys would like to participate, you know, be looking for that. It's going to be put up on the World Hug Day on, I believe it is January 21st. But on National Hug Day, I will be opening up that site. And with that, I think we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Ella, for your beautiful information.
My pleasure.
And with that, the next one is, I don't know the exact date. Oh, wait.
Oh.
Yeah, I do. It's February, I want to say 9th, but I'm not positive. It will be the second Friday of next month on in February. So just look for that, and she will be back with us to finish this lovely series. Thank you, everyone, and have an awesome week.
Thank you.